Slutification Epidemic Investigation Journal, Monday. My investigation into the strange changes I've noticed on my patrol that I've dubbed the slutification of local women has begun in earnest. I've been on patrol here for 2 weeks and the entire town seems to have been transformed. No one really knows me yet, which is good because it lets me observe what's going on without getting sucked in. I'm making sure to keep this logged because along with the changes in how they dress, the women here seem to be undergoing quite significant mental changes as well. If by some chance I become affected, I need to have a record of what I've uncovered. I've been on the verge of promotion to detective for a while. Everyone knew it. I figured this was my chance. The chief seemed a bit resistant to give me the green light, but once I brought him some before and after photos, he changed his tune pretty quick. And he gave me the go-ahead as a newly minted detective. I don't hold it against him. It's a real, you have to see it to believe it situation. Mind control like in the movies doesn't exist, and yet how else can you explain what is happening in this neighborhood? 2 weeks in a row I've watched women start dressing like strippers on the job by Friday, when they dress like a nun on Monday. I'm no prude. I wear my uniform quite well if I do say so myself. And my sex appeal has certainly been a useful tool now and again. But what I was seeing here was outrageous. And more than that, it wasn't normal. I've spent today narrowing down what I need to prioritize in my investigation. The main cultural centers of this town seem to be the radio station, the hair salon, and of course the bar. Tonight I'll be starting my investigation with the bar. Even if it has nothing to do with any of this, a bar is almost always a good place to find a lead. People tend to open up when they've had a bit too much to drink, after all. Tuesday. Oh God, I am so hungover. I woke up and half the day was gone. I don't know what happened. Ah, shit. How did I get so hammered? I never drink anything hard when I'm on the clock to prevent stuff exactly like this. So, what happened? Okay, breathe. Let's just think back to last night. I got dressed to start my investigation, chose something unassuming, casual, something that wouldn't stand out so I could eavesdrop on conversations around me, but that accentuated my body enough that I could get information out of somebody with a bit of strategic flirting if need be. I chose a medium skirt that showed off just enough leg to make a guy curious, and a blouse that showed off just enough cleavage to be enticing. And then I put on my favorite jacket. It's got these fantastic pockets on the inside that are incredibly useful. So I put my badge and taser inside the jacket pockets, and then put my mace in my purse. I'd prefer to have my gun on me, but there's too many consequences to shoot someone in a neighborhood where everyone seems to at least be somewhat aware of each other, if not downright chummy. So I got ready, then left to go to the bar. Arriving outside, I heard them absolutely blasting music at top level. It made my head hurt even from outside. I was not looking forward to subjecting myself to it more closely. But duty called, and she said she doesn't care. So I entered the bar. I'm remembering now a little. God, the music. The music blasting so loud, I almost felt dizzy. I felt dizzy. I couldn't think. So I sat down. And the guy at the bar gave me a drink. No, maybe I asked for a drink. I did. I ordered my own drink. The bartender would never give me a drink I didn't ask for. If I hadn't ordered it, I definitely wouldn't have had a sip. Or drunk the whole thing. Yes, I definitely ordered the drink myself, but it was strong, too strong. The bartender must have just mixed up the drink I ordered with another one that was too weak to hold my liquor for. It wasn't his fault. It was an honest mistake. I was just too weak. For the liquor, I mean. Anyways, I'm starting to remember some more now. The good news is, despite my failure to gain knowledge the usual way, an inebriated smoking hot chick is the perfect bait for the kind of people who might be coordinating this sludification epidemic. I remember. A guy came up to me and started chatting me up. I flirted back a bit, batted my eyes, tried to get him comfortable. At one point, he asked me my measurements. Most of the time I'd slap a guy who asked something like that, but I couldn't. The investigation depends on me not making a scene no matter what. If that means having to laugh and flirt with a sexist for a few minutes instead of beating him to a pulp, well, that's just the deal. Plus, he was pretty cute. I liked the attention. Good girls like attention. Because attention makes us wet. Good girls don't think. And good girls drink to repay their debt. I think I took off my jacket to show him my cleavage better. I don't see it here. I must have forgotten to put it back on, because I liked showing it off so much. Holy shit, I forgot my jacket at the bar. My badge is in there. Fuck! Wednesday. Good news, I found my jacket. The cute guy at the bar that hit on me apparently took me home when he noticed that I was getting too dizzy and ditzy and dumb to go by myself. And when he went back to the bar, he realized it was still there. He said he tried to bring it to me that night, but I must have already been conked out after drinking so much. He's so sweet and cute. Such a shame he's married. Anyways, I was retracing my steps, so I went back to the bar, and there he was, holding my jacket, so respectful and chivalrous. His wife even ironed it for me. At first, I was spooked because that meant they found my badge and taser. But this guy was so nice. He told me not to worry about it. He must realize I wouldn't be hiding my badge if I wasn't doing something important. Anyways, his wife suggested I switch from carrying my badge and taser in my jacket to putting them in my purse with my mace. Like she said, if I'm not wearing my jacket, I won't leave it anywhere accidentally. Problem solved. Plus, that means today I got an excuse to wear something that accentuates my chest a little more without distracting from the goods. For strategic reasons, obviously. Anyways, before I left, his wife did the sweetest thing and made an appointment at the hair salon for me, plus gave me a coupon. She said her friend Becky works there, and apparently letting Becky work on your hair is real, quote, life-changing. Then on my way out, she gave me a kiss on the lips. I definitely didn't expect that, but I didn't want to be rude, so I kissed her back. I guess maybe we ended up making out for a few minutes. His wife was just so very sweet and charming. Super sexy, too. I mean, I never thought I was even bi-curious, but honestly, I'm starting to love it in this town. It's only been a half a week, but everyone here has been so wonderful. Maybe I should move here properly. Fucking girls is fun, because it makes men come. I love pleasing men, because that is who I am. Be whorish, you see. That's what it means to be free. I want to live where I can be me. First things first, finish the investigation. The appointment at the hair salon is tomorrow, so today I'm investigating the radio station. I didn't mention this before, but I swear to God their radio station plays everywhere in this town. You can hear it no matter where you go. I get it, they're proud of it, but it's excessive. It's always a little staticky and hard to hear, too. I can't remember the lyrics to a single song they played, but I just can't seem to escape it any time I'm in town. So, I may as well bite the bullet and go to the source. Maybe I'll tell them to update their equipment while I'm at it. If I have to listen to the radio station all the time, I'd like to actually hear the goddamn songs for once. Thursday. My visit to the radio station yesterday was super fun. It's actually really cool. It's basically run by the whole town. Most of the men in town take shifts there. And they have a bunch of different tracks they rotate through fairly regularly. Meanwhile, women hang out in the studio while they work. Apparently it gets pretty hot in the studio, so they tend to hang out in either their underwear or, if you can believe it, in the nude. They also tend to make out a bunch. Since being so exposed and on display turns them on so much. Good girls love attention because attention makes us wet. I didn't want to be rude, so naturally I stripped down to my underwear too. It's just like taking off a coat, really. Some things call for more layers, some things call for less. And besides, it's not like the girls were nude. Maybe it's a bit prudish of me, but personally, that would definitely make me a bit uncomfortable, so I'm glad we all stayed clothed properly. Of course, naturally, the girlfriends have to be ready to suck their boyfriends off whenever they need to come, but they can do that without undressing at all. And they're good girls, so the attention made them wet, so they had to masturbate, obviously. But they just stuck their hands into their panties for that. They invited me to join them in sucking the guys off and in their masturbation session, but I turned them down. They were very sweet and respected my comfort. I didn't feel pressured to join them at all. Very sweet of them to consider how new I am to the culture of this town. Anyways, the music. Okay, so the music is so strange in this town. I mean, I've started to come around to it, but it's strange. See, I had thought that the music had bad sound quality, and that's why I couldn't hear the lyrics, but it turns out it intentionally sounds that way. They bury the lyrics under all these other sounds, and then through some kind of audio engineering magic, they basically get clearer the more you listen to them. If you stick it out, you get to appreciate it more. I think I almost started hearing some of the lyrics myself today. And I just know it's going to be so satisfying when I can hear everything properly. When I'm listening properly. I don't know anything about audio. And when I asked how it was accomplished, everything the guy said just went in one ear and out the other, I'm ashamed to say. They spent hours explaining, and I just couldn't grasp a single word. It's like it all just slipped right off of my soft, smooth brain. They're clearly so much smarter than someone like me. Than a girl like me. A girl with big tits. An air where her brain should be. Good girls are empty girls. We exist to be men's toys. Good girls are stupid girls. We leave the thinking for the boys. Good girls are sexy girls, with big tits and easy home. Good girls are slutty girls, who will do anything they're told. Oh yeah, I guess it was kind of a dead end for the investigation though. Nothing out of the ordinary there unless you count the music, which no reasonable person would. Hopefully my appointment with Becky tomorrow will help clear my head a little bit so I can focus on the investigation better. Maybe listening to the local radio station could help me sleep. I should also probably masturbate tonight, clear the horny fog from my brain. Everyone's just so fucking sexy here, and I'm getting so much attention. I need to be a good girl. Friday. It's much later than I usually record my notes. It's just, today has been a long, wonderful, intensely erotic day. Becky's work was as life-changing as I was told. The way she worked with my hair, massaged my scalp, like her hands went straight to my pussy, straight to my cunt, my needy cunt. I should start from the top. Top. I should strip out of my top. Good girls love showing their tits. Good girls love attention. There we go. The girls in this town are really onto something. It's so much easier to strip when your default outfit is a bra and panties. It's just so much more practical. Anyways, my appointment at the salon was nice and early, 9:30 a.m. But I had no trouble getting up in time. I was just so excited. I didn't know what it was, but it just felt like I really needed this appointment today. For some reason, it felt so important.
Life-changing.
I got there at exactly 9:30. I couldn't be late. Good girls are always on time for their treatment. So I got to the salon, and they had the local radio station playing, of course. I have to say, the music's not for everyone, but I've really come to appreciate how much pride this town has for their music and their local station. But I'll talk about my feelings on the town's pride in themselves later. Back to my salon experience. Becky, with an I apparently, rather than a Y as I assumed, very cute, was waiting for me as promised, and I was ushered right into the main section. However, to my surprise, Becky and each of her colleagues were completely naked. And even more surprisingly, so were the women they were tending to. At first I was a tad uncomfortable, but Becky assured me that the nudity of her and her colleagues was merely meant to encourage the women who were there to allow themselves to be vulnerable and establish a space of trust. And the women they work on only truly have to get naked if they want the full treatment. She said that my appointment was only for half treatment, but I had no obligation to stick to it, and I could change my mind any time. That made a lot of sense. And really put the culture of this town in perspective for me. There's no judgment from anyone about anything. Some of the women were masturbating while getting their treatment, yet no one cared. No disgust, no slut-shaming, no jealousy. Just women openly enjoying themselves and supporting each other in their pleasure. I even heard someone in the waiting room say her friend was taking a turn with her husband tonight. Honestly, even if I didn't have to, it seemed only right I should strip as well. I wouldn't want any of these women to think I didn't trust them after all. I absolutely trust them. I trust every resident in this town. I'll never question them. So I stripped off the bra and panties I chose that morning. Definitely a good call to go with a efficient outfit today over my usual stuffy, overcomplicated outfits that would never make men come, and sat down in the chair in front of Becky. Becky put her hands on my shoulders and commented on how tense I was. She was right. I've been working so hard all week. But this was a salon, a place for relaxation. I could always take a closer look later. Surely there's no harm in my first visit being a little less in the line of duty. The radio played its music, and Becky massaged my nude shoulders. I could feel my mind going soft already, and she hadn't even touched my hair yet. But then she did, and oh, fuck. She pulled my head back by my hair, and God, it made me so wet to be led by my hair like that. I'm so easily led. And I lay back in the chair as she began washing my hair in her sink. She had some kind of something mixed into the water. Something calming and comforting. Whatever tension, whatever anxiety I had left was gone in moments. She could do anything she wanted with me from that moment on. Because my brain was putty in her hands. As she washed my hair, it was like she was fingering my cunt. I guess I should feel lucky she didn't do anything inappropriate, but honestly, it would have been pretty hot if she did. But I wasn't ready. Not yet. My treatment wasn't finished, and good girls finish their treatments. Honestly, I have no idea how long it took. Becky's hands felt like they were molding my very brain. Shaping it into something new, something wetter, something softer, something dumber, something better. I wonder if I played with my pussy while I was receiving my treatment. I don't remember if I did. All I know is on the other end of it, I had the wettest cunt I'd ever had in my life, and I craved cock in every hole. I needed to suck and fuck and obey. When my treatment was done, Becky told me that the man I met at the bar was waiting for me out in the lobby. I left immediately, and he was indeed waiting for me. And his wonderful, sexy wife, too. And we all just fucked right there in the lobby. Oh, it was like I was being torn apart and put back together with every thrust. His cock broke me again and again. In my mouth, in my ass, in my cunt, and everywhere he fucked me. I felt my brain being molded around it. Like my very brain was being reshaped into phallic imagery. Meanwhile, his wife complied with his every order like it was from God himself. She forced my head down to deep throat him. Licked my cunt while he pounded my ass. Licked and abused my tits while he tore apart my cunt. Oh, she was such a good girl. Such a proper wife. The whole thing was... oh, exhilarating. I'd never experienced anything like it. And I knew right then that I was moving here for good. There's just... no shame. No shame anywhere in this town. It's wonderful. People take pride in their music, their fashion, their bodies, their sexuality. Who cares if women walk around with their tits out or rubbing their cunts and choking on a dildo? Who cares when a man forces a woman to her knees and throat fucks her until he comes all over her face and her hair? Who cares when women show off their useful nature by letting the cum dry? To accentuate their runny makeup? Or if other women help our sisters out by licking the cum off each other? When did we all get so uptight that not being ashamed of just living your life how you want to is demonized? I drove over to the department and told the chief that there was nothing to worry about. The town was lovely. And no one here would ever do anything harmful or immoral in any way.
He was a bit hesitant, but once I sucked his cock and let him pound my cunt with a promise to come back regularly, he was good to sign off on closing the case.
Wetter, softer, dumber, better. Good girls lose their prudish way. We suck and fuck and we obey. Softer, better, dumber, wetter. Our cunts taste so wet and needy. So when men use us for dumb and easy. Wetter, softer, dumber, better. We love to act and dress in ways that make men come. Men always know best, and girls are always dumb. Dumber, softer, wetter, better. Good girls open our minds and legs. We're easily taken, because we're so easily led.